Right? The Lone Ranger. It's just you. Okay? Or there's very few of you. All right? How many think that your church, your class, could use some help? All right? I think, honestly, all of us could use some help. Because nobody in this room has it all. There's some incredible talent in this room, incredible ability in this room, incredible experience in this room, but nobody in this room has it all. And so, when we have lots of different people in children in our classrooms, we'll just show you. Who likes to eat pie? Anybody? You like to eat pie? Okay. So somebody raise your hand. Tell me your favorite. Just yes, right here. Peach.
Cherry.
Apple.
Cherry.
Pecan.
French nut.
Okay. Lemon meringue. Yes.
Rhubarb.
Buttermilk.
Pecan.
Mince meat.
Dream pie.
Yeah,
that's where you mix cream
with. Okay. All right. Yes.
Peanut butter.
Blueberry. Yes.
Pumpkin.
Pumpkin pie. Got it. With lots of whipped cream. Yes. Pumpkin pie. Somebody else. One more. Give me one more. One more. Yes. Pumpkin pie. Okay. Did you just notice that there's folks in here have different tastes? Some of them kind of weird, but anyway. Different taste. Okay. Well, that's interesting. How many of you know you really don't care for pie? Oh, look around. There's some hands. Okay. How many of you had a choice, you'd take a piece of cake over a piece of pie? Oh, so wait a minute. Some of you raise your hand on both. Okay. So, you know, I bet if we asked cake, there'd be, you know, German chocolate or angel food or, again, what? Differences. So does that mean that we have different tastes? Okay. Tell me a hobby. Give me a hobby. Somebody, give me a hobby. Yes.
I make cards.
Cards? Okay. Yes. Woodworking. Yes, sir.
Playing the piano.
Give me a hobby. Yes, sir. What is it? Hunting. Okay.
Cars.
Cross stitch.
Motorcycles.
Come on, give me a hobby. Yes.
Fishing.
Coin collecting. Somebody else. Give me a hobby. Yes. What is it?
Guns.
Hiking. Yes. Sewing.
Drinking coffee.
Reading. Okay, somebody give me a hobby. Come on, give me a hobby. Give me something you enjoy doing. Yes. Sports? Somebody else. One more. Yes. Crafts? Okay. Huh. So not only in this crowd, there's folks with different tastes, but there's also folks who enjoy different things they enjoy doing. How many of you know, and by the way, I'm not into the personality, you know, choleric, sanguine, and melancholy, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I'm not. But how many of you know, you do know just kind of what kind of personality you have. You know. Okay? I'm not going to ask you what it is. It's okay. So somebody say, I ain't reading one. No, it's okay. All right? So you do realize that in this room are different tastes, different things that folks enjoy, different personalities. How many of you in here... You have a special ability. There's just something you can do that, you know, just kind of, you know, not everybody does it. Just different. What?
I can make up to 250 animals.
Okay, you can tie balloons. Anybody else tie balloons? Who ties balloons? Okay, good. Not everybody in this room ties balloons. Give me another ability. Something, yeah, what do you do? She knows all the states in alphabetical order and their capitals. Oh, okay. Okay. Amen. By the way, flying in yesterday, the sun was just setting, and coming into eastern Kansas, and I'm looking at springtime in eastern Kansas. It was beautiful. It was just gorgeous. And I thought, man, this is, you know, this is a pretty nice suburb of Texas. So, all right. You got that, right? All right. Okay. Somebody else, an ability. Just kind of, yes. What is it? Okay, all right. Somebody else, an ability, something you do that just kind of, yes. You guys aren't helping me out here. I'm getting to where I enjoy that one too. Somebody else. The fact of the matter is probably, and you say, well, that's kind of a hobby thing, isn't it? No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. Different tastes, different personalities, different abilities. You've been educated in different things. Some of you maybe as an occupation. Okay, many different occupations are in this room. The fact of the matter is every one of you are an individual. And the classroom of you have of people sitting in front of you, they're individuals also. Sometimes we don't think in those directions. Sometimes we just think it is a whole. But that whole is made up of what? Individuals. And they learn different and they understand things different. Different waters have gone under their bridge. Look, it's unfortunate, but there's a lot of children out there. They know more about life than some of you know even about life. Sadly. Very sadly. Okay? I grew up agrarian. Farm and ranch. My wife grew up in the city. Trust me, the way we view things, okay? Talking to children sometimes, say, did you have pets when you grew up? I say, yeah. But I eat my pets. They don't get that. Amen. Okay. So we just view things differently. And I think if we were really honest, we all could say we need some help. Because there's just areas where we just don't have it. Where are you going to get that help? As I mentioned earlier in the book of Acts, can we go to the next one? Mine's just not working out so great. And I'm going to do the unpardonable. I'm going to look back. Okay. It says, it is this phrase, and it's over and over again. We find Paul in his writings. He uses this, it says, being like-minded. Being in one accord. Luke writing in the book of Acts, being in one accord. And then Paul saying being like-minded. I believe there's even a verse in Philippians where they're both in there. One accord and like-minded. All right? We need to have that. But at the same time, every one of us are individuals. Some of you like to do certain things. Do you know, isn't it interesting that we sometimes make our fellowships around things that we enjoy doing? Well, we ought to make our fellowship of things we enjoy doing in ministry. Amen. But we're all different, folks. We're all very... My wife and I are two sides of a coin. Absolutely two sides of a coin. But we complement each other. I have to be honest to say that she complements me a whole lot more than I her. We need each other. We're in this together. Okay? We don't perceive things the same way. Not just because of gender. I'm telling you, because of a whole lot of things. Age and the way she grew up and the way I grew up and the things that I enjoy and the things she enjoys and the things I understand, the things she understands. Her personality, my personality, that all goes in the mix. That's all in the kettle of stew there. Right? So we need some help. Looking at getting people involved in your church, and we have several represented here. You likely in children's ministries, and they're hard to come by, getting people in children's ministries. A lot of folks, they just don't want to do that. And there's a whole stack of reasons as to why. Okay? By the way, if you have somebody who is there, you should appreciate them a whole bunch. Amen. Okay? You should. All right? And, but they could probably use some help. We talked about the music area. Folks, if it was up to me, I would do what I have to do, but it would be very difficult for me to do because it's a square peg in a round hole. I'm sorry. I wished it weren't that way, but it is. It is what it is, and I'm not trying to make excuses for it. It just exasperates me. All right? I'm just not wired that way. I'm sorry. Doesn't work. I need some help. Okay? So probably in your children's ministries, you need some help. So probably you have a few people involved and you have many people who are not involved. Can I tell you that we're wasting a huge wealth of help and information and resource in the folks that sit in our pews that don't do anything? Here's what I would encourage you to do. Talk to your pastor. Say, I need some help. Maybe give him a list, some names. Pray about some folks. We encourage people to encourage others to get involved. Now then, I'm not saying get involved that they actually come into your classroom with you. But they get involved to the point of helping you get prepared to go into your classroom. Folks, we're all in the time crunch. We're trying to manage all this stuff and let's be honest that oftentimes ministry things can get put back on the back burner and sometimes taken off that and put up on the shelf. We just don't put the time into it that really needs to be put into it. Because we're trying to manage everything else out of sight, out of mind. Okay? And oftentimes, if it's just us or just me in a classroom, there's not the point of accountability. And I can stand up in front of those kids and buffalo them any old day. I can walk in that classroom and just do what it is I'm supposed to do. By the way, no matter what you're doing, you should sit down and determine and have a scriptural reason as to why you're doing it. Amen? Okay? And so, then approaching people and getting others involved. You know, what if you wanted to have a nice little treat at the end of your class? Well, anybody can go buy a bag of cookies. Anybody can do that. But what if you had a dear saint in the church that would make you cookies? And what if this dear saint just decided that this is going to become a ministry and she didn't just bake cookies. She made cookies that anybody would come back to. Why? Because she throws her heart into it. You know what? Now she's paying for it. She's going after it. She's producing it. And that can help you in your classroom. What if my wife did that freehand? All right? She's a calligraphist. I don't know about some of you, but when I write on the chalkboard, it starts out little and ends up big. And if it doesn't have spell checker in it, none of it's right. Okay? What would you prefer, mine or hers? Hers. And by the way, so would everybody else. Amen? Okay? So what if you had somebody who would walk into your classroom and make sure that if you were going to put some notes or anything, they were done sharp. Nice. First class. Representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? Sharp. Doesn't mean that they'll actually walk into your classroom and be a part of your classroom, but they will help you what? Prepare for your classroom. You have not, because you ask not. But in time, you know what? Who knows? Maybe God will work on some of their hearts and they say, you know, can I do a little bit more? Yes, you can. All right? So, go after people. Recruit people. Getting people involved. If somebody doesn't have... Do you know why women usually live longer than men? Is when a man retires, he no longer has a reason to get up. A woman has to get up every day, cook, clean, etc., etc. She has a reason to get up. Right? Right? And so we need to give people a reason to get up and serve the Lord. It gives their life worth. It gives their life value. It gives their life purpose. And I think it's important that we in ministry help others kind of slowly, maybe taking little baby steps, work their way into their life having what? A purpose. Something beyond themselves. And investing in the life of somebody else. And honestly, I cannot think of a better investment than investing in the life of a person, but in particular, a child. All right? Now then, with this thought, so we go out and recruit help. We advocate that every class should have a minimum of 3 teachers. Minimum of 3. Now you've got those different personalities. Now you've got those different abilities. Now you've got those different tastes. Now you've got also accountability. Those children may not know what's required of me, but those other 2 people know what's required of me. Amen? And we can work together. A job that might take you 1 hour to do would take 2 people 15 minutes, simply because of the multiplication factor. All right? If we only invest a few minutes in preparing for a class every week, what if we had several people investing for the same class every week? We've automatically put more invested, more return. Amen? Okay? So, dividing it up. Everybody should have a piece of the pie. Why? Because there's some pieces of this pie that's just a better fit for you than it is for me. The music part, I sing along with my wife. If she does the little things, I do the little things. When she sings the songs, I try to sing the songs on tune and sing the right words. Doesn't always work out that way, but anyway, she's there and it's okay. All right? And but I have a piece of the pie. You say, are there any pieces of pie? Oh, the object lesson. I taught math and science for years. Okay? I love physics. I love chemistry. Okay? I love biology. Proverbs 6, consider the ant. I love watching ants. They're my favorite. Okay? You say, you really like watching? Mm-hmm. Like, I really do. All right? And I like to watch them. You said, that's weird. That's okay. All right? And so I love object lessons. They work with me. I understand them. Okay? They just click. All right? I love the Bible lessons. Man, I just like doing those Bible lessons. I like doing reinforcement stories. I like telling stories. And I like doing all that kind of stuff. I love it. Okay? It's just like duck to a water. No. Water to a duck. Yeah, it's just like water to a duck. Okay? I just got it. Okay? The Lord's wired me that way. It works. It's a good fit. You know, my wife, she's not real crazy about science. No. Okay? Now, she didn't mind the Bible lesson, but the reinforcement stuff, you know, reading stories and telling things like that, that's not her. Right? We complement each other. And with that, with the 2 of us working together, guess what we have? The whole pie. The whole pie. And get people involved. Encourage people to get involved. And by the way, if somebody fails you, it's okay. A just man falls 7 times, rises up again. Amen? Help him up, pick him up, dust him off, send him on their way again. By the way, the greatest help that my wife and I have ever had over the years has been teenagers. Have they ever failed us? Have they ever? Have they ever disappointed us? Mm-hmm. But can I tell you that about 99.9% of those young people now are in ministry, and particularly children's ministry, someplace on the planet. Amen? Oh, yeah, we had some bumpy roads, but it paid off in the end. But the best help we had was teens, because they had the time and they didn't have the inhibitions that sometimes adults have. And okay, all right. And they had the energy and so on and so on. Right? So having a piece of the pie, learn to teach in themes. Learn to teach in themes. Themes will help you focus. Themes will help your students to focus. Learn to teach in themes and do everything. So if I was going to teach a theme, I want my opening, my attention getter on the theme. I want my scripture on the theme. I want my object lesson on the theme. I want my Bible lesson on the theme. I want my reinforcement on the theme. I want everything on the theme. And in that opening is the music. So if you can't find a song, then you better find a song that fits your theme. Don't just sing a song to sing a song. Folks, if we do things in ministry just because, it's the wrong reasons. And you won't get the results you want. Do things on purpose. Intentionally. All right? And so everybody having a piece of pie. Learn to teach in themes. Learn to multiply by dividing. And we learn to delegate. My wife hates delegation. Anybody here like delegation? Who likes delegation? Four of us. Five of us. Okay? Preacher, you like delegation. I know you. You delegate everything. Okay? All right? Okay? Good on you, mate. All right? And so, I like to delegate. I would much rather get you to do it than me do it. All right? Actually, I kind of like doing it together. But I learned a long time ago, folks, I'm limited. And I realize that if I can get some help, I can get further. Amen? Okay? So learn to delegate. We are dealing with people, and people are 150% fallible. Again, if they fail you, forgive them, pick them up, dust them off, send them down the road again. You say, well, it takes a long time, and they don't do it my way. There's more of one way than skin a cat. Okay? Try it sometime. Anyway. So, learn to delegate. As preacher said earlier, you're never on time unless you're early. If your students walk in, let me just show you how far that goes. So, you got here at 10. What would happen if you would have walked in here at 10 and my wife and I started walking in and setting stuff up? Somebody tell me one thing you would think. One thing. Just one thing. Somebody. What would you think? Unprepared.
Disappointed.
Somebody, yes, sir. Doesn't mean much to me. And I don't mean much, and you don't mean much to me either. Okay? Somebody else? Anything else? Yes. Bad first impression. Anything else? Yes. Unexperienced. Anything else? We got to do this. What? Not ready. Unprepared. Not ready. Yes. Do not value my time. Don't value your time. Life is full of circumstances. We left Austin early enough to get here early enough. That didn't happen. We got here late. Okay, it was dark 30 when we showed up last night. Yes, sir. Oof. Rude. Now, can I tell you that children think the same things we do? They think the same things we do. Okay? The only thing is they're just not vocal about it. But that all, it all registers. It's all there. It's all there. It's all there. Okay? So, we set up last night. Brother Michael, how late was it when we finally quit last night? 11? Okay, this was all set up 11 o'clock last night, and we were tired, but we didn't want to face it this morning, so we did it last night, okay, and we didn't get much sleep last night, right? It is, what, 3 o'clock in the morning for us right now. Okay? And so be early. Students should never walk in your classroom and you're not there. Okay? The light's on, set up, ready to go, and you're there. Be there early, be on time. Amen? Can we go to the next one? Is there a next one? All right. Everybody having a piece of the pie. I would encourage you to take this thing home and use this. This right here is very simple, but it is an incredible tool. The nice thing about this pie is you can move things around. There's two you should never move. Never move the opening and never move the closing. Okay? Leave those there. Okay? All right. Don't mix those up. Never shove your Bible lesson towards the closing. Why? You will run out of time. And this is why we came. Amen? I was just speaking to someone a little bit earlier. We were just at a junior camp, and I gave an invitation. And the kids responded to the invitation. Again, I did not tell them what to do. I didn't coerce them in what to do. I'm telling you what, they just responded. Here's the incredible thing, is the leadership came to me afterwards and said, "Do you always do that?" I said, "What's that?" "Invitation." I said, "Well, we are at camp, right?" And I said, "Yes." I said, "So why'd you ask?" He said, "We've never seen that before. Never seen that before." It was what I walked away with is those children had never seen it before either. And they responded. They knew what to do. Amen. Okay? And if you using this as a tool and in organizing your thoughts and organizing your directions and moving things about so that you don't produce a pattern. A rut. The only pattern that you produce in your class is they know that you'll be there. They know that you'll be there on time, set up, ready to go, and that you will have something for them. That is the only pattern you should ever produce in your classrooms. Ever. Nothing else. They should never know what is next. Never. And you can move these things around. The memory verse is how you can start your class. The object lesson. The Bible lesson. Okay? You can start your class that way. I would encourage you to always come up with somehow an attention getter. Just something to just bam. It can be a moment. It could be longer. But just something just to bam. Draw them in and theme based. Okay, utilizing this simple little tool and putting it has to be illustrated. It can't just be words. It has to be something that they see. It's something that they hear. It's something that it's all coupled together. It's something that almost to the point that they can feel. A lesson that we're doing tomorrow is don't monkey with sin. Alright? And one of the things the kids have come in early. Anybody know the game? Okay. We play Barrel of Monkeys. Alright? And I don't have it in here. My object lesson or my attention getter is a monkey trap. Alright? Now, if you're here, please don't tell your kids, Brother Gary's going to show a monkey trap tomorrow, because they're going to guess it right away, and I'm good. I don't want them to guess it. Okay? Have some fun with it. So, but everything's on a theme. You want to just do something, just pop, just boom. It just interests them and just draws them to you. And once you have them, don't let them go. Or once you have them, don't let them go. Just keep them. This, if using something like this, and I'm not saying you have to use this. Find something that works for you. But it needs to be something that allows you to look at how you're going to place your class, what you're going to do at a certain time in your class, keeping it theme-based, moving it around, keeping it fresh, keeping it new, keeping it moving, and keeping it with a purpose of seeing boys and girls saved and on fire. It'll help you with attrition. Attrition is those dropouts. They come for a week or two, and you don't see them again. All right? Why? Because in their hearts and minds, for some reason, they're disillusioned. They said, nope, nothing here for me either. They'll go someplace else and look. We need to stop that. We want them in God's house. Amen? And I'm all for following up on them. I'm all for that. But we don't want them just coming and going. We want them to what? To stay. Okay? We want to be able to reach them, teach them, and keep them. And we can do that. We can. That's all doable. Can I have the next one, please? Hi. What? Really? I'm sorry. Okay. All right. That was the first lesson that I and a group of people wrote years ago. We used to do Sunday school, children's church, those kind of things the way everybody else did. We found that we had attrition. We found that it wasn't exciting. We put ourselves into it. We really did try, but we felt like we had lots of discipline problems. We had it wasn't still, it wasn't quiet. They weren't attentive. Just lots of things. And I got to the point, I was on church staff, and I was praying, Lord, please, please, I'm begging you, please, get me out of this. Okay? Call me to the mission, do something, just get me out of this. Because I felt like, I wasn't the right person for the job. I felt like, I'm trying, but this isn't working. And surely there's somebody else that can do a much better job at this than I can. Because this, I was frustrated. And I prayed, I said, Lord, please get me out of this. So you know what the Lord did? He let us cross paths with a lady who is not our stripe. She grew up Grace Brethren. Right, she graduated from a Bible college in Nebraska. I'm trying to think of the city. Lincoln, Omaha, I don't remember. Anyway, Grace Brethren College. But she had a 4-year degree in a subject. Anybody take a stab at what that degree was in? 4-year degree. It blew my mind when I found out. She had a 4-year degree in Sunday school. How come we send our school teachers to 4 years? She had a 4-year degree in Sunday school. And she just sat down with us. And she said, so where you at? What are you doing? And talked to us for a while. And it was the craziest thing. We knew how to teach. But we were just we were just doing it the way that we thought that's the way everybody does it. And so we just simply said, are we willing to make some changes in the way we do things and let the Lord use this and see what happens? So we all got together, our children's workers. We said, we're willing to try this. So the first lesson we wrote, we said, You know, we noticed that lots of kids didn't bring their Bibles. So we thought, you know what? If we're going to teach the Bible, then probably they should have their what? Bible. So we thought we would write a lesson on the importance of the Bible. We originally taught a 5-week class on the importance of the Bible. We later boiled it down to 4. The importance of the Bible. And one of the things, our attention getter. We got a box that was in ratio to a Bible, and we painted it all black and painted gold sides and put some gold letters that said Holy Bible on it, cut a hole in the top, 2 in the sides, a big hole in the bottom. And we said, Brother Cannon is going to be Mr. Bible. Brother Cannon's about as big around as my finger. Brother Cannon said, I'm not doing it. And his brother-in-law, Brother Dave, is big as a bus.
And he said, you're doing it, Jim.
Okay, I'll do it. We wanted to keep things spiritual. Anyway, so Brother Jim got in that box. And so the first day, first lesson, first thing out of the chute, this is what we tried. And we decided we kind of put some of this together. We're going to have an attention getter. And so all his kids, and you know, it's they're being the typical Sundays, noisy, you know, bathroom and this and that, and got Brother Campbell up, walked in. He's got a pointer stick, and he walks in. He walks and says, "Hi, boys and girls, I'm Mr. Bible. I and Brother Dave were standing in the back, and all those heads went click, and went dead silent." All we could hear was Brother Campbell. And Brother Dave says, Brother Gary, look at it. I said, I see it. I thought, that is incredible. Just like that. And we divided this up a bunch of several people, and somebody was supposed to take 2 minutes, and somebody was supposed to take 10 minutes, and the person was supposed to take 10 minutes took 2, and the person supposed to take 2 took 10. I'm telling you what, we messed it up big time. But can I tell you what happened? Is that day, there was just a breath of fresh air. It was new. It was fresh. And the attentive level just went straight up. One of the things we did is that day we sent home a little slip of paper, and it was a little checkoff list. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And their name and a place for them, their parents to sign it. I read my Bible these days. The next Sunday, the second Sunday, a few Bibles showed up. That's nice. We didn't offer them anything. If you bring your Bible, you get... We didn't do that. They just simply brought, some of them brought their Bibles. Not many. We got a couple of those little slips back, and I don't think the first Sunday we got any that was fully checked off, but we got a couple back, and one or two places was checked. I read my Bible this day. We handed those out every Sunday. On the last Sunday, it wasn't 100%. But I want to tell you, it's as close to 100% as it had never been that before. But we got a lot of those little pieces of paper back. I read my Bible every day. That was a long time ago. Their children now are getting older. Their children are now getting older. It was a long time ago. And from time to time, in our journeys and travels, we meet some of those people. I've had people come up to me and say, Brother Gere, from that week or from that time, I have been faithful to read my Bible. That's where they learned to buy. And as many of those were children who grew up in church. Folks, you say, what was the difference? They really just didn't understand really how important this is. And they learned. Many of those children today are still serving the Lord in a church that were in that class. All right? We decided that we wanted everybody to have a piece of the pie. That was the first lesson that we wrote. And it was all theme-based. And we had a good time writing it together. And we had a wonderful time delivering the class together. I would encourage you to have threes. Preacher said that he treats staff differently as opposed to volunteers. Most folks are volunteers. How many times has the pastor got a phone call and say, "Preacher, we're going to go, something's come up, or we're going on vacation, and now you're scrambling for a substitute." Okay? How many of you ever had a substitute teacher in school? Is today a good day of confession or of what you did to that teacher? We've all been there, haven't we? Yes. You think our kids would never do that? Yes. Okay. What happens? The rules change and things like that. When we work together, you know what? The rules don't change. Amen. All right. That allows for someone to leave. But that means that two can still what? Carry the load. What happens if a child gets sick in your classroom? Okay. We just came from a country. If you was to have a group of children and you leave that classroom, okay, you're in serious trouble. Serious trouble. Because you left your responsibility unattended. Okay? And their laws have teeth. Okay? Because they're looking for folks like us to make an example of them. Okay, you say, "Well, it's not like that here." Well, it's getting that way. Okay, folks, the America I live in today is not the America I was born in. Geographically, it's the same. Not a whole lot is the same. All right? And so we need to look out for each other. Okay? If a child says anything, that adult is in trouble, even if it was fictitious. Okay, that adult's in trouble. But in the witness of two or three others, that adult is safe. We need to keep each other safe. Amen. And we need to help each other. We're in a time crunch. We need to invest more. There are so many materials here to help you. There's so many materials out there, online. There's so many materials in here that has not yet been born. There are so many abilities that we have. Get people involved. Get them involved. Give them a ministry. It gives them a reason to be. And it's just, it'll be a help to you, be a help to your ministry, a help to for the cause of Christ. And it'll be a help to those who come to your class, right? You got to recruit. You just have to recruit. And doesn't mean, and most people recruit so they come into your room. That's the number one mistake. Don't recruit them to come into your room. Recruit them at first to help them, you get ready for your room. And then in time, you might be surprised how many come on board with you. All right? Any questions in those areas at all? No? Can I take just the last couple of minutes? I still have a time. I want to finish. What time is it? So we're done.